Bottom of Testament Beis, the Mishnah, continuing with the Ein Bein, I think this might be the last Ein Bein. The Mishnah says, Ein Bein Shilo Lishlaim, Ela Shabishilo, Ochlin, Kachim Kalam, Umaisa Shane, Behun Shilo. What happened was, when the Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, they brought the Mishkan along with them, and they brought it into Shilo with the Mizbech and all the other Kalim. So the Mishnah says, there's only one difference between Shilo, where the Mishkan went to, and Yishlaim, where the base of Migdash was ultimately built. One difference was that in Shiloh, that Ochlin Kachim Kalam v'Maisa Sheni. Normally the halacha is that Kachim Kalam and Maisa Sheni are eaten in all of Yishalayim. So what was halacha in respect to Shiloh? So the Mishnah says, B'chol HaRoa, not only within Shiloh proper was it permitted to be eating these types of foods, but any area that I was able to see, Shiloh was also included. And then, however, of Yishalayim, Lifnim Menachoma. But when it comes to Yishalayim, you could only eat within the walls of Yishalayim. One may eat the Kachim Kalim in Ma'is Hasheni. So that was the only difference between these two places. So Mishnah says, V'kan V'kan Kachim Kachim Nechom Lifnim Menachlaim. So when regarding Kachim, which is much higher level of Kedusha, that can only be eaten within the Klaim, within the framework of the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash, nowhere outside of that area, in which case they're both equal.
Shiloh had klayim or something, obviously.
Yeah, they had klayim there. These types of curtains and walls that kept it. The Mishkan went eventually to Shiloh, so I guess the klayim of the Mishkan went all the way to the to Shiloh. So then the Mishnah says Kedusha Shiloh, with respect to the Kedusha of Shiloh. Yesh acharei heter. Afterwards, after it was destroyed, there was a heter. We'll see what that means in a second. The kedusha Yushalayim ain acharei heter. But after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, there is no heter. So look at the top Rashi here. Yesh acharei heter. Kishecharva shilo hutur habamos. So we already spoke of yesterday the content of a bama. So after shilo was destroyed, there was a heter of bamos, where people were able to have their individual bamos yachid, and also there's a larger bamos tzibur, bama gedola. Kedamrinam mesach hazvachim, Rashi continues, ki lo basmat ata el hamenucha, and up until you didn't reach, once as long as lichvosh, when you reached Shiloh from finishing the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, ve'al hanach lezu yishlaim, lama chilken akasav kedei liten heter bein zu lezu. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk that says, until you've reached menucha, until you've reached nachla. Menucha refers to Shiloh, Nachla refers to Yerushalayim. Teach me that there are two different halachas. What are the two halachas between Shiloh and Yerushalayim? To teach me that after Shiloh was destroyed, then there's a heter to start building bamos. But after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, there was no heter of bamos. And that's another difference we have between Yerushalayim and Shiloh. So I don't know, it's interesting that the Mishnah initially says there's only one difference, Ein Bein, except for any place you see it. But then the Mishnah goes on to say there's another difference, by the way, that after the destruction of each of them, there is another distinction between the two of them. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shemati, I heard once, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemakriven Beis Chonav Bizman Hazeh, that one is permitted to bring karbanos in a place called Beis Chonav after the destruction of the Beis Mikdash. Beis Chonio, it's pronounced? Okay, so Beis Chonio. So Rashi explains what exactly is Beis Chonio. So Rashi says, Mizbech Chonio b'no shel Shimon HaTzadik b'na. The son of Shimon HaTzadik built this Mizbech, b'ma, b'mitzrayim l'shem Shemam. He built it in Mitzrayim. He had all the proper kavanos, kedamin maseches menachos.
Isn't Chonio the one that was huge and that they had to raise a flag to...
I know in Egypt they had the city of Alexandria was huge, but I'm not sure if it was at the same place as Beis Chonio. Yeah, I think that was just a shul. I don't think he was referring to Mizbeach, though. That was the Gemara in Sukkah. So Rabbi Yitzchak heard that they were makriv karbanos on this Mizbeach in Beis Chonio. Bizman hazeh. So explained the Gemara, Kisavar Beis Chonio lava Beis Avodah Zarah. So this opinion clearly assumes that this is not a makom, it's not a Beis Avodah Zarah. And Rashi tells us, because there is a man damer that thinks Beis Chonio was considered a makom Avodah Zarah. So big machlokas. So he felt that it was okay to shecht and bring karbanos in Beis Chonio. It was not a makom Avodah Zarah. And number two, another assumption that he makes is, V'kasavar Kedusha Rishona Kid Shel HaShaisa V'lo Kid Shel HaSlavo. He also thinks that the initial Kedusha that was infused in the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was not everlasting. It was only for the moment, the time that the Beis HaMikdash was up. But once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is no longer Kedusha there, and that Kedusha could be transferred anywhere else. But if the Beis HaMikdash and the Makom Beis HaMikdash maintained its Kedusha, one would not be allowed to bring, there's no other place for Makom HaMikdash. So that's what, look at Rashi says, we're going to explain how this fits with the mission in a moment. Rashi explains, the Kasavar Kedusha Shiniskadsha Yushlaim Ain Kedusha Lealam. The Kedusha that was infused in the Makom HaMikdash in Yushlaim was not everlasting. And once it was destroyed, all the Bamos were permitted. That's why Beis Chonia was permitted. I know it's against the Mishnah, but we'll get back to the Mishnah in a second.
It seems that it's different.
It is different than the Mishnah.
No, because it's saying, Omnem Chonia Otzmo Vibadai Avar Isur. It seems that the Beis Chonia was while the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim.
Yeah, what you're reading it from the article there?
Yeah.
So there's no indication in the Gemara Rashi like
no,
that.
There isn't, but it seems from article that he did this while, because he had a fight with the other, with his brothers, and he went ahead and he said, and he went ahead and, because his brothers were in the Beis HaMikdash, and he went ahead and he left to Mitzrayim, I think, because of the fight.
Okay, so I see there's a discussion in the footnotes talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so make reference to a Tosas Rush that discusses this? Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know the timeline of this. Okay, something to think about. So what's
and
the...
And it was
proof?
In Alexandria.
And it was not, right. Right.
No, it was.
It was.
Yerad Alexandria, Mitzrayim, Vekim, Shamizvea, Vekruz, Vachim. It's a Mesupar שמיד לאחר מותו של שמעון הצדיק שהיה כהן גדול ירושלים נתגלגל הדבר בגלל קינה בין בניו חוניו ושמעיה.
But it wasn't necessarily the same story with the waving the flag, but the same place at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think this Chonio was the one that we spoke about.
Yeah? That was, do you remember that? Anyone remember that?
I'm not sure, but because it sounds...
Okay. Well, we'll look afterwards. We'll take a look at the Gemara and Sukkah. Okay, so the Gemara says now, how do we know this? This concept that Kitsha Rishona, Kitsha Lashais is only momentarily, but lo Kitsha Lashalavo. So the Gemara goes on to bring a Pasuk, Dichsiv, Ki lo bas marata el menucha vel hanachla, that you haven't yet arrived to the place of menucha, you haven't yet arrived to nachla. What do these things mean? Rashi already alluded to this. Menucha zu Shilo, nachla zu Yushlaim, two different places. Makish nachla menucha, it's a hekish, from the Menucha, which is Shiloh, and being Makish to Yerushalayim. Ma Menucha Yesh Achra Heter, just like Menucha, after Shiloh, there was a Heter Bamos. Af Nachla Yesh Achra Heter. So too, in regards to Yerushalayim, after the destruction of Yerushalayim, there was a Heter of Bamos. And that's the proof that allowed the Beis Chonio to be a Makom HaMikdash. To be bringing Karbanos, it was a Makom Bamos. Okay, so that's the first opinion of the Gemara. So just as a side point, look at Rashi first, Tosos rather, top Tosos. He says, Shemati, Shemakriven beBeis Chonio. So Rebbe Yitzchak heard that you were able to bring Karbanos in Beis Chonio, so ask Tosos, Kasha, Hayach Makriven Pram Shambatuma, the dog Gazuel Tuma al Eretz Ha'amim, the Chachamim created Gezerah, that anyone who goes outside Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Ha'amim is going to become Tamei. So you're standing in Egypt and you're bringing Karbanos, at the very same moment, you're Tamei. How could you be Tamei while bringing Karbanos? Tosos answers, maybe with respect to this type of thing, when it came to making bamos and bringing karbanos, maybe they were not gozer that you're going to become tameh. Since midiraisa, one's permitted to bring karbanos outside of Eretz Yisrael if you made a bama, so they were not gozer in such a situation. Okay, something interesting to think about. So back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, after presenting this, the Gemara says now, Amrule, so they said to Rav Yitzchak, Amrus, did you really say this? That the Kedusha was only the Shaita of Lola Kedusha Lasalavo? Amrul alone. Rav Yitzchak says, no, I never said it. So Rav comes and says, what do you mean? Halukim, Amr, you did say it. The Gamirna Laminaya, and we learned it from you, or from him. So Rav oftentimes says this. Someone's going to reject something. Rav says, Halukim, my God, you did say this. So Rav Yitzchak denied saying it, and ended up saying that Rav said, you certainly did say this, and you taught this to us. So my time of Kaderbe, so why did Rav Yitzchak retract? So Amishim Kasha the Rav Meri, it's because he was stuck by the question Rav Meri once asked him. What was the question? The most of Rav Meri, Kedushas Shiloh, Yesh Achra Heter, Kedushas Yerushalayim Ein Achra Heter, our very Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us straight out that after Shiloh was destroyed, there was a Heter Bamos. But after Yerushalayim was destroyed, there is no longer any Heter Bamos. So how is Beis Chanuel permitted to be built and to be bringing Karbanos? So therefore, Yitzhak, we retracted that this could not have been a... Over there's another mission that tells us, the mission in Zvachim says, Tanan, Yishabol Yerushalayim Ne'esu HaBamos. Once they arrived to Yerushalayim and built the Beis Hamikdash, it was us to build Bamos anywhere. V'lo hayalehem od v'heter, and there's no longer a heter. And that Makom Yerushalayim, the Makom Mikdash, was considered the Nachla, the eternal place, the eternal Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash. So because of these two Mishnayos, he retracted, and so therefore one was not able to bring Karbanos in Beis Chonyov. Anything that was brought there was going to be, I guess, Beis Avodah Zarah Kilo. So I think the Gemara elsewhere, when quotes this Gemara about Beis Chonyo, even the Man Damar says Kasav Avodah Zarah, doesn't think it's Avodah Zarah Mamish, just thinks it's against bringing the Beis Mikdash, but not quite Avodah Zarah, because I think he had good intentions, but it still was against Halacha, according to this other opinion. So Gemara says, you know, the truth is really Tanai, it's really Machokas Tanayim, this concept of Kitchel HaShayis, like low Kitchel HaSlavo. So let's just understand this for a second, that this whole question of whether or not Beis Chonyo was a Machom Avodah Zarah or not, is really totally on whether or not Kitchel HaShaisa, the Kitchel HaSlavo or not. If you're going to say that the Kedusha in Yerushalayim was everlasting, that means there's no heter to bring any Kabbalos elsewhere, therefore Beis Chonyo would be Ki'il Avodah Zarah. But if you assume that the Yerushalayim was not Kitchel HaSlavo, it was only momentarily, temporarily there's Kedusha there, so then it would be permitted to have Bamos elsewhere. So again, it all hinges on the Machlokas of whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was everlasting or not. So the Gemara presents it really as a Machlokas Tanayim now. So what's a Machlokas Tanayim? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati Kishayubonim Beheichal. I heard that when they built the Heichal, Osin Kalaim Leheichal, Uklaim Lazara. So the Heichal was the area inside. Let's just review for a second. There's Kodesh Kadashim, which had the Aron Kodesh. Then there's the Heichal, which had the Mizbeach HaKadosh, the menorah and the Shulchan. And then there's the entire Azara, which included the large Mizbeach. So Rabbi Eliezer heard once that when they built the Heichal, which again had the menorah, Shulchan, and small Mizbeach, they had made klein, they made curtains, and when they built the Azara, where the large Mizbeach, they also had curtains. Ella, but there's a difference, says Rabbi Eliezer. Shebeheichal bonum mibachutz, ubazara bonum mibufnim. So when they built the Heichal, they didn't put the klein within the parameters of the Heichal, rather they put them outside. So if you were to touch the klein of the Heichal, you wouldn't be touching Kedusha. It would be kind of a border. But when it built the Azara, the Heichal was within the walls, the curtains were within the Azara. So if a person would be touching the klein of the Azara, they would be touching the Kedusha of the Azara. So then, so look at Rashi, the small Rashi, Bonim Mibachutz. What's the reason why, in respect to the Heichal, they built the curtains outside the Heichal? So says Rashi, Shayu Hakalan Prushim Lifnim Me'ovayacham, so it's separate from the thickness of the wall. So when people are building the walls and building the curtains, they wouldn't be stepping into the Heichal. They'd be building on the outside. But in the Azara, there wasn't a problem stepping into the Azara. Only the Heichal would be a problem for a person to go inside there. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer heard, what took place in building the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara continues and says, there's another opinion, that of Rabbi Yeshua, who said, Shemati, I heard a little bit differently. I heard, Shemakrivin Afapishen Bais, that they're allowed to bring the bring karbanos, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, you could bring karbanos. As long as the Gemara and Zvachim talks about this at length, as long as you know exactly where the Makom Mizbeach was, you could be makriv karbanos in that very place. You don't need a house. You don't need walls. And further, Rabbi Yeshua says, Ochlin Kodshe Kodshim Afapi Shein Kalayim. You could also eat the Kodshe Kodshim, even though there's no curtains that is supposed to be eaten in the Azara, you could still eat it, even though it's completely open and level. And further, says Rabbi Yeshua, Kodshim Kalim Umay Sheni, which could be eaten in all Yishalayim, can be eaten afabish ein choma. Even though there's no walls of Yishalayim, would may eat it anywhere in Yishalayim where the walls were supposed to be. So Mipnei, why? What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yeshua? Mipnei Shu Kedusha Rishono L'Kitchel HaShaisa V'Kitchel HaSulavo, because the Kedusha is everlasting. Therefore, you don't need any walls, you don't need any structure. The Kedusha is there. You could bring the Karbanos, you could eat the Kodshim wherever you wanted. So the Gemara now infers from this, Michlal, the Rebbe Eliezer Savar, Lo Kitchel HaSulavo, it wasn't Kedusha forever, and the only way to be able to be Makav Karbanos and to eat Kodshim is if you have Kalim, as long as you have curtains or walls which create the Kedusha. But without that, there's no Kedusha. to this machlokas about kitchel l'shaisa, kitchel l'asa lavo, it really tells us before about the discussion the status of beis chonio.
But it could be that it had kedusha, but you just weren't allowed to eat without klayim, without when it wasn't enclosed.
What would the reason be for that?
Because it says clearly that doesn't it say that it just says that you have to see, right?
That's only by Shiloh you have to see. We're talking about Yerushalayim itself now. So let's look at Rashi just for a second to understand this machlokas before you go forward. Rashi says Kalayim Lahecha, that were earlier than we were before. Kalayim Lahecha. Kasaka Daitra, at this point, we have a Havamina to think. B'makom Chomos Ahechal, that the curtains were the place where the walls were supposed to be. Shehe Mizbeach Abani Ba'azara, Kari Asher Pesach Almoi, and the Mizbeach is built in the Azara. Shilmali Kain, had it not been these curtains, lo hayu makrivin ad sheyigmar habinin, then you couldn't be makriv karbanos until you finished the building. Vehem hischilu hakriv karbanos mishabosham be mekorish, and the second they got the heter to go from Korish to bring karbanos, they started being makriv karbanos kimoshe kasa b'sefer Ezra. Var esim v'shaim shana achar kain lo nigmar bayis b'shnas shlosh l'daris the daryav shachron. It took 22 years for them to build it. So during in the meantime, while they're building the base of Mikdash, they put the curtains up. The curtains served as part of the binyan, and that completed the binyan, that completed the kedusha, and that's what allowed them to bring karbanos. But if they didn't put the curtains up, they wouldn't be considered a binyan and wouldn't be allowed to bring karbanos. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, who felt that even though there were no curtains, one would be allowed to bring the karbanos. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara now says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Mimai, how do you know they're arguing about that very point? Dilma l'chuli alma kedusha rishana, maybe both opinions think that kedusha is everlasting. So what's the machlokas? Mar de mai de shmile kamar, umar mai de shmile kamar. They're both just presenting different things that they heard. Not that what you need. Rabbi Eliezer said that you didn't. He never said that you needed the klayim. He just said, what do? They put a klayim up there. They put curtains there. But he never said that without the curtains you couldn't bring karbanos. Maybe they're saying, what exactly happened historically? So if that's the case, if Rabbi Eliezer himself does not require curtains, and he thinks Mikra Din 1 could bring karbanos even without curtains, so asks the Gemara, then v'chi tema klaim le Rabbi Eliezer lamali, so why would he need curtains in the first place? If he really fundamentally agrees to Rabbi Yeshua that you don't need any walls, you don't need any house, the Kedusha is there anyways, so why do you need curtains? The Gemara answers, l'tzniyus ba'alma, to have just some, protection, not protection, but really just to do things a little bit more modestly, so not everyone's looking inside Beis HaMikdash. Just for covering, have some window shades, that's all. But really, fundamentally, they both agree that Kedusha is everlasting. So that can't be the Machlokas Tanayim that we are referring to. El of the Gemara says there's another Machlokas Tanayim. So before we go to that, there's an interesting Tosos here. Tosos asks, this is the second Tosos from the top, my Taima had the Bei Mishum Kusha the Rev Meri. So initially, Reb Yitzchak told us that he thought the Kedusha in Yerushalayim was only temporary. So asks Tosos, Hiksha Harav Reb Chaim, Umitchila Hechi Amar Lemilsa, Vichi Lohaya Yodea Mishnah, Valohain Shkurus Bifi Kolm. Tosos doesn't understand. How could Reb Yitzchak not know two Mefurish Mishnayos that exist throughout Shas? Didn't we assume that all Amarayim, all Tanayim, well, Amarayim, that is the case, didn't they know all Mishnayos Baal Peh? How could he forget two Mishnayos, let alone? So the Gemara says, the old Kasha, came with the Tanaihi, since it's a Machlokas Tanaihi, and my Hadar Bey, why did he retract? Lema Anna Dami Kamand Amar Lo Kichila. So now we know that we haven't found where the Machlokas is, but we know the Gemara is about to tell us the next case, that there is another opinion, another Tana who holds that it was only the Shaisa. It wasn't everlasting. So couldn't Rabbi Yitzchak, even though he did know these two Mishnahs, he could have held like the other Tana in the Mishnah that we're about to bring. So why did he have to retract based on these two Mishnahs? That either he should have known, and could there's still another Tana who goes against these Mishnahs. So answers Tosus, L'chach nir l'harev Reb Chaim, d'chuli alma moda d'mishbal l'Yushalayim, nesu habamos. Everybody agrees, perhaps, that after you reached Yushalayim, bamos are aser. V'shuv l'hoya l'hen heter, there's no longer a heter. V'hani t'nai, so what's the machlokas t'nai? Hani t'nai, b'ha pligi, they're arguing on a different point. So again, everyone thinks, up until this point, without reading Tosas, we assumed that the two machlokas were connected. The machlokas, whether or not you're allowed to bring bamos after Yerushalayim, depended on whether or not there's still kedusha in Yerushalayim. Tosas says that's not true. Everybody agrees right now it's also to bring bamos after Yerushalayim. The only machlokas now that we have with the Gemara is whether or not the kedusha was everlasting or not. So the opinion that says man damar lo kidsha, that it wasn't everlasting, savor, it holds daf bim komo shemizbech, even if you know exactly the exact place where the mizbech was and is going to be, lo kidsha ain yichol lahakriv achshav, you cannot be makiv karbanos anymore. Uman damar kidsha, the one who thinks there is still kedusha savor dibimakom mizbech, if you know where the place in the mizbech is, muter lahakriv avol lo bebama. But everybody agrees you cannot bring bumbles anymore. So that's how Tosus gets out of this. Now, it doesn't seem to be going along with the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say it hinges upon whether there's Kedusha still in Yerushalayim, and that tells us whether or not there's an Isser Bumbles, but the Tosus seems to reject it in light of his two questions. Okay, so back to the Gemara now. The Gemara is trying to find the source that there is a Machlokas Tanaim about whether or not the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is everlasting or not. So the Gemara says now two narrow lines, the last two narrow lines of the Gemara, Elaki hani tonight. It must be holding like the following machlokis tonight, which says, "Titania, Amar Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yosi, Lama Manu Chachamim es Elu." Why did Chachamim list the following cities? Shikshalu bnei Hagola. When they left Golus, they entered back into Eretz Yisrael. They listed a number of cities that had walls from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So, Shikshalu bnei Hagola matus Elu v'kitchem. Because when they found these cities, they are makdish these cities. They gave kedusha into these cities. Aval harishonos batlu mishibatlu haaretz. But the initial cities have to do with kedusha sachomas batich. Look at Rashi es elu. Rashi says es elu ayaros nimnu beperek basa de'erchin. They listed various cities that are found in the last parak of Maseches Erchin. Linin bate arichoma. With respect to the halachas of bate arichoma, we spoke of earlier in the Masechta about selling cities, buying cities. About you have like a year to redeem the cities if it's a walled city, or if it's a house within a walled city. So these had certain amounts of kedusha to them. So the Gemara says, Harishonos batlu. The first, initially, these cities lost its kedusha mishabat laharetz when they were exiled from the land. When it lost the kedusha, so then they were kicked out, and the cities lost the kedusha as well. Alma kesaver kedusha rishona v'kitchila shaisav lo kitchila shalavo. So this opinion thinks that the kedusha was not everlasting, and it's only because when they returned from Golus, they were makdish these cities. But had they not been makdish these cities, there would be no kedusha to these cities. They see it was only temporary the kedusha.
So we hold basically that all the cities that were mukafos in the non Yeshua, and they were still mukafos in the time of Ezra. Those are the ones, right?
These are the
ones that were Mukafos, Bisman, Yeshua, and then they got destroyed, and they're not. And those that became Mukafos after Yeshua also not.
Yeah, I'm not. The ones that were the ones that existed and then were destroyed, I think we hold, based on the Gemara earlier, that it still does have Kedusha. The Pasuk says, Afapisha ain't low. Remember that Pasuk? Asher lo choma.
Right, so what are we saying here? They're saying here that they were Makdish.
Right, so this is a different point about having a wall, not having a wall. Meaning, let's assume for now it had a wall, Yeshua ben Nun, and it still has a wall now, let's say.
Okay.
It lost the Kedusha, nothing to do with having a wall, not having a wall, because all the Kedusha left Eretz Yisrael during the exile.
Okay.
In order to regain Kedusha, the Chacham had to list them and infuse it with Kedusha to say, okay, these cities actually have Kedusha now. Now, that Kedusha may only work
independently if you had a wall or not at that time.
Right. And they probably only were makdish cities that had walls from
at
the time of Yeshua ben Nun, though.
But that, right, yeah, that, yes. And you're saying that they even were makdish certain cities that had no wall, but then Yeshua had
yeah,
walls,
based yeah. on the Gemara earlier we had
right.
about Asher Lochoma, that it once had a wall,
had a
even
wall,
though it doesn't
yes.
have one now.
Right.
So I think, yeah. So then the Gemara asks, so that's the first opinion that we find that Tana, who holds that Kedusha was not everlasting. But then the Gemara brings Urminhu. Amar Rebbe Yishmal, Rebbe Yosi, V'chi Elu Bavad Hayu. Were the cities that were listed in the end of Erchin, were these the only cities that they had? V'halo Kfar Neymar, don't we have a pasuk that there are Shishim Ir called Chevel Argob. There are 60 cities, where I guess Chevel Argob is a place, a certain territory of Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
Okay. So there are 60 cities in this area, not just the ones listed. Uksiv, Chol Elu Arim, B'tsuros Choma Gavoa. And all of them were fortified by walls. So Ela Lama Manu Chacham Es Elu. So why do they specify only these cities? They single them out. Shikashalo B'nei Agola, Matu Elu V'Kitchum. And they found them and they were Makdish them. But why only these cities? So Gemara says, Kitchum Hashta. So why are they Makdish them now? Ha Amri with the Brisa taught us Lo Tzricha L'Kadushe. You don't need to be Makdish them. So the Gemara explains, Ela Matsu Es Elu Umanum. they found these and they counted them. V'lo elim b'vad, not only these that were listed. Ela kol shetala lucha mesoras b'yadecha mi'avasecha, but any other city that we had a mesora that was shemukva schoma miyos b'shubenun that had a walled city from the time of Yeshua Benun. Kol amitzos halalu noagin ba mipnei shekedusha rishona kitchel shaisa mikitchel asulavo. Not only that, but any other walled city, all the mitzvahs that are relevant to walled cities are going to be applied to them. Which are which mitzvahs? Look at Rashi, top right. He says, "Kol mitzvahs halalu hanohagos barichoma." Any other mitzvah that applies to a walled city, shilach mitzora, that be sent outside of the wall of the city. V'kriyasa megillah b'chamishasa, reading the 15th, that depends on the wall. V'habayis chalat balos of shana, like we spoke of, but you have a year to redeem the house that you sold in a walled city. All these apply to it. So the Gemara is basically saying that they didn't really need Kedusha. When the Chacham listed these cities, they're just saying these cities are being listed, and just like these cities have the Kedusha like they always had, so to all other cities that might have a wall, may have had a wall from the times of Yeshua Benun, will also have the Kedusha that's everlasting. So we see from here, there's a Machlokas Tanaim again, whether or not the Kedusha was everlasting or not. That's the source. Now, we'll get to two dots, and I'll explain to you Shittas Rambam in a moment. The Gemara says that these two different statements are both said in the name of the same person, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara asks, Kasher Rabbi Shmuel, other Rabbi Shmuel? You have two different opinions of Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara says, Trei Tanai, I'll leave with the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. And Echanami. Yes, there are two different versions of what his opinion was. Vibay Seima, alternatively, the Gemara suggests, Ha Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Amra. Maybe one of them is not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, the other one's Rabbi Elazar Bar Yossi. That was the other opinion. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar Bar Yossi Omar, Asher Lochoma, that had a city, but spelled Lamed Aleph, but it meant Lamed Vav. What does it mean, Afa Pish Asher Lochoma? Afa Pish Ein Lo Achshav Hayala Kodim Lachem, that we said earlier, just before, even though right now it doesn't have a wall, as long as it once did have a wall. Because once it had a wall, it had the Kedusha, and that Kedusha was everlasting. It seemed like that discussion you were saying before, whether or not it has a wall right now, depends on Kedusha Lasu Lavo. Meaning, if it once had a wall, the Kedusha was there, it always has Kedusha, even though it may not have a wall now. But if you're going to say the Kedusha left, so if it has no wall now when they re-entered, maybe it would not have Kedusha. So now this is very interesting, Machlokas. Before this point, we were discussing the Kedusha that existed in the Makom Mikdash in Yerushalayim. And we rejected there, we couldn't find the Tana who taught us that. And then the Gemara brought a proof, this last part here, the Machlokas about the walled cities, about Kedusha Lasu Lavo or not. Now, this has nothing to do with the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. This has to do with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, a different type of Kedusha. So the Rambam paskins that...
Tosfos said that the Shaila of Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Kedusha of Shaila, Kedusha of Lavo, is totally about whether or not someone be mutal hakar the makom is be'ach. That's why it's not totally at all in the whole discussion about Bama. We're not even discussing Makom HaMikdash anymore. We're discussing the Chalmos Rishon.
Right. So according to Tosos and the Pasha Pshat Gemara, you have to say these two depend on each other. Just like we proved that Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was not everlasting, you're going to have to say the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is also not everlasting. And if you say the other way around, so you have to assume that these two Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash are Habba HaTalya. But Chitas Rambam said differently. Rambam writes in Perash Mishnayos and in Yad Chazaka that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim in the Makom Mikdash was everlasting, because the Gemara said before that Rabbi Yitzhak retracted. He said he retracted, you know what? There is no heter anymore of building bamos. Why? Because there's a Kedusha in the Makom Mikdash in Yerushalayim. The only machlokas is in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that's where the debate is. In the rest of Eretz Yisrael, is there still going to be everlasting Kedusha or not? That's a completely independent machlokas. And the reason being, the Rambam writes, is because the Shechina rested, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim depends on the Shechina. The Shechina, once the Shechina rests in Yerushalayim, even though we can't see it, we don't notice it, the Shechina is always there to a certain extent. There are different levels and grades of how much the Shechina is present, but it's always there to a certain extent. It's totally on that. Eretz Yisrael is totally on something else. It doesn't explain exactly what it's dependent on, but I believe it depends on the Rov Yisrael being there, and Beis Din Sanhedrin declaring there being Kedusha. When it comes to the Beis Mikdash and Makom Mikdash and Makom Yerushalayim, it depends on the Shechina. I think I once heard Rav Schechter explain perhaps the same idea. It's not telling the Shechina, but it is. But it's telling on the Arun being present. I think the Nefesh Chaim has a whole beautiful idea that all Kedusha comes from Osios, from the letters. Everything comes from the letters. So the Arun, which contains the Sefer Torah and the Luchos, that gives Kedusha. So as long as the Arun is below the Makom Mikdash, we know it's somewhere there, most probably. Another opinion thinks it was stolen, another opinion thinks it was hidden below. As long as it's there somewhere, so therefore there's Kedusha based on that. the Shechina is there through the osios of the Sefer Torah that's hidden in the Aron Kodesh, so therefore there's Kedusha and Yishlaim in the Makom HaMikdash. The rest of Eretz Yisrael depends on other factors, therefore there's no Kedusha, or there might not be Kedusha throughout the rest of Eretz Yisrael.
When we think that there's no Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, is referring to which halacha? Ir Choma or something else?
Yeah, I think only Ir Choma, because in terms of Zraim, Zraim does apply.
Right.
Right, very good.
So it's only Ir Choma.
Exactly. Ir Choma, which is going to be reflected in Metzora, Megillah, and the Bat Erechoma. Right. Okay, and so another opinion, I know we don't have that much time, but the Rambam writes, based on this, he thinks, Bizman Hazeh, there's a Chiv, Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. We have a Chiv. Now, we can't practically do it because we're Tameh, or others would say because since we're Rov Tameh, Hutcher Bet Sibur, or we don't know exactly what Makam HaMizbeach is, but Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam holds there is a Chiv Karbanos. Now, that answers a lot of questions. I'll just show one for you, because Rambam writes that Sfiris Omer is the Derais of Bizman Hazeh. Now, that usually people say the reason why it's Derais is because it does not depend on Karbanos. There's a mitzvah to bring Karban Omer, and there's a mitzvah to bring Sfiris Omer. Well, there's no mitzvah Karban Omer anymore, so there's no mitzvah Sfiris Omer. They say, no, it's an independent mitzvah to count. It's not totally on Karbanos. That's why you would think that Sfiris Omer is a Derais of Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam, however, quotes the halachas of Sfiris Omer in Tamidim and Musafim, which seems to indicate that he thinks Sfiris Omer is dependent on Karbanos. So if he thinks it's dependent on Karbanos, how could the Rambam write that Sfiris Omer is Deraisa Bizman Hazeh? There's no Karbanos. Exactly. Since he holds Bizman Hazeh, that Karbanos are Deraisa, there's a Chiv, though we can't bring it, but there's a Chiv. That Chiv says there's a Chiv to bring to count Sfiris Omer. That's what the Brisker Rav writes in the Menachos, the Chidushim and Menachos. Okay, now we're starting the Agat HaSagiz of the rest of the parak here, a lot of psukim. So I took out the article to make things a little bit easier for me, quotes these psukim, so sorry guys. So the Gemara says, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, we're starting to darshan Megillas Esther now. First words of Esther, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Levi, v'isema Rabbi Yodnasan, davar zem esaros b'yadeinu. We have the following tradition, me'anshe knesa gedola. Whenever the word Vayhi appears, Enu Ella Lashon Tsar, means something bad is about to happen. Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, what happens after we see those words? Hava Haman. Haman came about, that was the Tsar. Vayhi b'mei Shofar HaShoftim, we have that also. Hava Rav, that was the introduction to a great famine. Vayhi b'ki Heichal Hadam LaRov. Okay, now this is where I start needing the art scroll here. So, what happened here?
This is Bereshit.
Okay, fine. So Bereshit Vav. So Hachela Rav. So this talks about when I guess with the Chet of Adam Rishon. Then Vayar Hashem Kirabas Ras Adam, and that's the very next pasuk. Afterwards, Hashem saw the evil of men. Then it says Vayhi Benasim Mikadem, and they were journeying from the east. Then it says Hava Nivlanu Ir. This is referring to the Migdal Bavel. Vayhi B'Me'am Raphael. This is in Lecha, my Parsha. Also, Muhammad, that had the big war of kings in Parsha Lecha. Vayhi b'Yosi Yeshua b'Yericho, when Yeshua was in Yericho, what happened? That was v'char b'shlufa b'yado, when the Malach was had the sword waving at him, when Yeshua, we saw earlier in the Masechta, that he was told he didn't, they were mevatel the Talmud, and they were also mevatel from Talmud Torah. Then it says, Vayhi Hashem es Yeshua, that's introduction to, Vayhi malu v'nei Yisrael, and they had stolen from the spoils. This refers to the stories of Achan, I believe. Vayhi Aish Echad min haRamasim, and one of the people from Ramasim. Next we have Ki es Achana Ahiv vaHashem Sagas Rachma, and Akash Baruch Hu didn't allow Achana to have any children. Then it says Vayhi Kasher Zokin Shmuel, when Shmuel was old. That was the introduction to V'Hol Chuvana B'Drachav, and Shmuel's children did not follow in the path of their father Shmuel. Then it says Vayhi David L'Chol Darachav Maskil Hashem vaHashem Imo, and David succeeded. He was very successful in all his ways. And then it says Vayhi Shal Oyin es David, and Shal looked at David, when David was sitting in his house, he was told that he couldn't build the base of Migdash. Okay. The Gemara says, so after bringing around 10 different sources, Vayhi is an introduction to a Davar Tsar that came out. The Gemara says, Vayhi b'yom hashmini, and it was on the 8th day, Vitanya. What happened on the 8th day? Osayom ha'isa simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's tremendous joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki yom shenivru bo shemayim va'aretz. It's an introduction to something good that happened. This was when the Mishkan was finally built, the Shechina had a makom to rest, so Kadosh Baruch Hu was very happy. So why was it introduced by the words Vayehi Bayom HaShmini? There's no makom tsar. Says the Gemara, Ksiv Hacha Vayehi Bayom HaShmini, Uksiv Hasam Vayehi Vavoker. So that's how we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu was so happy like the day that the world was created. Gemara says it wasn't that happy, it was a happy day, but still, don't forget, Hashachav Nadav Aviyu, Nadav Aviyu died on that day for entering into the Kodesh Kodashim, so that's why Lashon Vayehi is being used. So what about another time? Vayehi Vaksiv, Vayehi B'Shmon Mishana, V'Arbab Mos Shana. And it was 480 years. This, I think, is referring to the... right. And he built the Beis Mikdash. This also discussed in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the whole calculations. So that was a happy day. He had a whole Chanukah Sabayis. And furthermore, it says, Vayehi Kashir Ra Yaakov's Rachel. And Yaakov's Rachel. And that only led to good things, him marrying Rachel. And the creation of the world, Yom Echad, the world is created, and it says the word Vayhi, which is a positive thing. And the second day said the same thing, Vayhi Erva Yivoker Yom Hasheni. Vayhi Kishlish, Vayhi Ketuva. All the days of creation had the words Vayhi. So Vayhi isn't only a Lashon Tsar. So the Gemara finally answers, Amar Rava, or Rav Ashi rather, Kol Vayhi, Ikahachi V'Ikahachi. Every Vayhi can be interpreted, can either introduce good or bad. But Vayhi Bimei, those two words together, Eino Ela Lashon Tsar, that's going to introduce Lashon Tsar. And Chamisha, there are five Vayehi Bimeis. Havu, what are the five? Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh, Vayehi Bimei Shefar HaShoftim, Vayehi Bimei Amrafel, Vayehi Bimei Achaz, Vayehi Bimei HaYakim. So those five places of Vayehi Bimei are introductions to five bad events that occurred. So I'm a Rabbi Levi now. Davar Zem Mesorosh B'Yodeinu Me'avoseinu. We have the following Mesora, that Amotz V'Amatzia Achim Havu. These two individuals, names sound very familiar, we're brothers. My Kamashalam, what's the Chiddush? What's he telling us? That the fact that they're brothers, who really cares? Gemara says, Ki ha damar shav Rabbi Shmuel, bar Nachmani amar Rabbi Yonasan, kol kala shit snu beveis chameha, any kala who's very modest in their house of her father-in-law, zoche v'yotzim mimena mlochem v'nevim, or zoche to have a navi and kings come from them. This we know the story also, the Gemara and Sota has this minel, and how do we know this? That mitamar, when Yehuda saw Tamar along the way, she was dressed up, and he thought she was a zona because she covered her face. Because she covered her face, he thought she was a zona. Ella, because when she was in the house of her father-in-law, she covered her face. She was tsanua. He didn't recognize her when she was standing at the corners. So then he said he saw her face. He didn't know it was his own daughter-in-law. And for that reason, because of her tznius, zachta v'yasa mimena melacham nevim. Because of that, she was zachta v'nevim, and melacham came out of this. Now, obviously, the question is, well, she, in the end, she was being a zona, and it was her father-in-law. So the Gemara discussed, not the Gemara, but the Mefarshim explained, somehow the melachas David had to come from these types of relationships, through these Yibum type of relationships. Remember, David and Bathsheba, the whole story of David and Bathsheba also, which Shlomo came from David and Bathsheba, that also there was an avon, and the sin of David took place. So some reason, Malchus, because David had to come, these types of relationships. Just a thought. Somebody once told me that in the beginning of one of these Svarim, I forget which one, there's a beautiful Hagdama that explains that why Mashiach has to come in a time of Tsar. So they explain because the however world works above, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to create Mashiach, have Mashiach born, all the various malachim above prevent the Kadosh Baruch Hu from doing that. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has to trick them somehow. So he usually makes someone good. Oftentimes you find a tzaddik come out of a bad family. Avraham Avinu, his father's Terach. Moshe Benu, not quite, but he was raised within the household of Paro. Why oftentimes do you find great tzaddikim and gedolim coming out of these types of houses? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu had to say, you know, I had to trick them. So when the malachim above, whatever that works, sees that he's trying to create this, you know, he says, okay, parents are, you know, having a child, and Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to create kedusha. The malachim say, oh, these parents are probably not zocha to having a good child come from. Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of sneak in there this type of kedusha into that child. This way, leaving the malachim of, you know, leave him alone. And allows them to produce this this great tzaddik as a child. So too, Mashiach comes in these bad times where the malachim above are going to say that there's no way Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them Mashiach now. So dafka, at that moment, Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to sneak in there the zera of Mashiach to be born of those times. So that might be the reason why Malchus Beis David came about through these types of illicit relations. So the Gemara says, Mlochim mi David. So again, this is how we know. So how do we know that she was Zocha to a king and to a Navi? So Mlochim mi David. So she ultimately was the great-great-grandmother of David. And that was the Melech. And Nevi'im, Damar Rabbi Levi, Mesoris Biadena, we have the tradition, the Avosenu, Amos Vamatzia Achim Havu, they were brothers, Uksiv Chazon Yishayahu ben Amos. So Yishaya was the son of Amos, and Amos was the son, the brother of Amatzia. Well, who was Amatzia? So Amatzia was, he was one of the descendants of Tamar. And I think he was one of the, I think somewhere in the generations from Yehuda till David, he was somewhere in between there. Or no, he may have come after David. Does it say?
He was a Melech in Yehuda.
He was a Melech, okay, so he came after David. So he was a Melech in Yehuda. So look at Rashi, the right side, Amots Vamatzia, Amots Aviv Shel Yishaya, Vamatzia Melech Yehuda. So they were brothers. So we see, just like Amots, we know that Amots, Amatzia came from Tamar, because he came from the Davidic lineage. So therefore, Amots was also, the brother also was, and therefore we see that Tamar basically mothered both a Navi and a king. That was the Chiddush of Levi by telling us that Amots and Amatzia were brothers. Then another statement in the name of Rabbi Levi, Amar Rabbi Levi, Davar Zem Mesoris B'Yadenu Mi'Avasena, we have the tradition that Malkum Aron Ein Mehamida, that the place of the Aron did not fit in the dimensions of the Kodesh Kodashim. Tani Nami Hoch, we have a Bryce, this is the same thing, which tells us that Aaron should also Moshe Yeshla Eser Amos L'Chavruach, the Aaron that the basement that the Moshe made had 10 Amos on each side. Uksiv V'Lifnei Hadvir Esim Ama Orech, and it's written that the area in front of the partition was 20 Amos long. That tells us that the Kodesh Kodashim was 20 Amos by 20 Amos. Uksiv Knaf Hakruv Ha'Echad Eser Amos Uknaf Hakruv Ha'Echad Eser Amos, and the wing of one of the Kruvim was 10 Amos, and the other one was also 10 Amos. Now. Now, if
these are the Kruvim that Shlomo built, not the ones from the Aron
HaKodesh. Oh no, it wasn't the ones of.
I think not. I think he built Kruvim from wood that were mitzupe zahav.
Uh huh.
And he put them in the Kodesh HaKadashim, and he had, meaning the wings of each one touched each other and touched the wall, so that was it.
Uh huh. Okay.
That's why it was 20.
Okay, so the wings were separate. So now the wings, it makes sense. He doesn't say that Aron. Okay, so the wings were each 10 Amos.
Right.
So 10 by 10, that's 20 Amos. Right.
And he put one next to the other one, so basically from one point to the other of the Kruvim was 20.
That covers the 20 Amos.
Yeah.
So that's the case. So so Aron Gufa Hecha Havakai. So there's no room for the Aron to be if the Kruvim are taking up the space, the wings are taking up the space. Elash Mamina Benes Hayamid. So this teaches us that the Aron must have been there with the Nes. Now the Gemara goes on to say a number of statements that the Amoraim would introduce their drasha, the Megillas Esther drasha. How would they introduce this? So Rabbi Yonasan pasach la pischal hai parshas mihachum. When he would give a shir about Esther, he would open from the following pasach and say, "Vekamti aleim, I will rise up against them. Hechrati levavel shem ushir ushar nin v'necha num Hashem. I will cut from Bavel the name, the any relatives and any offspring and any posterity. I will cut from off from Bavel." So Zaksa, so shame. What does shame mean? What do you mean you're going to cut off shame from Bavel? Zaksav, I'm going to remove any of their script from Bavel. Shar, was Shar mean? Zelosha, I'm going to remove their language. Nin, Ze Malchus, and Neched, Ze Vashti. That's how he introduced this pasuk, was referring to Megillas Esther, and then he would go on to give a big drasha about Megillas Esther. Now Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, pasuk la pischa l'hai parasha samyacha, he'd introduce his drasha from a different pasuk. He called the pasuk, Tachas ana tzutz, below the thorn was Yala Barosh, a cypress will rise, and Sachas Asarpad Yala Hadas, and instead of the nettle, a myrtle shall rise. What does this pasuk mean? Tachas ana tzutz, so instead of the thorn, Tachas Haman, Harasha Sha'asa Ato Avodazara. He made himself into Avodazara, so instead of him, so Dichsiv, V'chol HaNatzatzim, V'chol HaNeholim, upon all the thorns, upon all the branches, this I guess is a reference to Avodazara, that refers to Haman. Yalav Rosh, instead of Haman, a Rosh, a cypress, is going to go up. Zem Mordechai Shenikra Rosh L'chol HaBesamim, as I mentioned the other day, that Mordechai was supposed to be the head of all the Besamim. Shenemar V'atakach L'chol HaBesamim Rosh, Mar Dror, you take the first Besamim as part of the Shemen HaMishcha, was Mar Dror. And in the Targuminon, and the Targum writes, is Mori Dachi. That's the interpretation, Mar Dachi, reference to Mordechai. So Mordechai is Rosh. He's going to be the Rosh that's Tachas HaNatzitz. And then was Tachas HaSir, pardon me, under the nettle. Tachas Vashti, below Vashti Harusha, Bas Bino Shel Nebuchadnezzar Harasha, Shesaref Rufidas Beis Hashem. that she burnt the resting place of Hashem, zahav, Yal Hadas, so in place of Vashi, is going to step up Hadas, Hadas Zu Esther, Hatzadekes, Shenikres Hadasa, she was going to be in place of that. Shenemar, Vahi Omen Es Hadasa, that's the Pasuk of Megillah that tells us her name was also Hadasa. So before we go weiter, this, by the way, and this is the Pasuk we say in the Haftorah of Tainas Tzibor. We also say in the Pasuk in Tainas Tzibor, I'm forgetting the Pasuk now, we say something about Michal Shabbos. Shema Shabbos Michalo, right? Shema Shabbos Michalo, we say, in the Pasuk in Tainas Tzibor, the Haftorah, in this same part, in the same parak here. So, the Shulchan Aruch brings down a minhag that for Besamim, Matzah Shabbos, a person should use Hadasim as part of the Besamim. So, it doesn't explain really why. So, they bring down that because in this Pasuk, it says Hadasim next to keeping Shabbos. So, what does Hadasim have to do with Shabbos, though? So, they say this, that's why we say there's a big connection between, as I said the other day, of Besamim and Purim. That's why I say, like, Yehudim Ha'isa'or B'Simcha in Havdalah from Megillah. There's a very strong correlation between Havdalah and Purim, Hadassah, Besamim. All these things all come together. There's a very strong correlation between these two in Yonim.
There's a story that Rosh Hashanah saw somebody carrying Hadassah.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Night,
exactly. On the Erev Shabbos, they're running with two Hadassim. He said, why do you have two Hadassim? What do you mean? One for Shamar, one for Zachar. He was very, very happy when he saw that.
Right.
So there's a very big correlation between those two in Yonim. So Gemara says further, "Vayal Hashem l'shem," and Hashem will be for a name. What does that mean? Zu Mikra Megillah. That refers to Megillah. That's the Pirsum Nes. Los Ulam Olam Lo Yikares. There will be an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. Eli Me Purim. That's Purim that will always last. We'll always have the celebration of Purim forever. Now Rabbi Shub and Levi Pasach LaPischa LaHay Parsha Samiacha. When he would introduce a drasha on Megillah, he would bring the following pasuk. He would say, "V'haya kasher sas Hashem aleichem lehitiv eschem." When Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes so happy to want to do good for Klal Yisrael, Ken yasis lahara eschem, he will rejoice to harm you. What does that mean? So mi chadei Kadosh Baruch Hu b'mepalsim shirasham, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu happy when the Rasham fall and they die? V'haksiv doesn't it right? But says lefnei achalutz v'omrim holu Hashem kilam chasdo. And when they go out before the army, they're going to say giving thanks to Hashem for doing kindness. V'omrim b'yochanan mipnei malo nemar kitov b'hodazu. Why didn't it say Kitov? It just says Ki Lilam Chasa. It doesn't say Hodu Hashem Kitov Ki Lilam Chasa. It says Hodu Hashem Ki Lilam Chasa. It misses the word Kitov. The fish ain't a Kadosh Baruch Hu Sameach B'Malch Palsam Shirasham, because it can't be completely good, even though we're happy that our enemies are dying. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is still upset that they're his creations. So here too, also this is a reference to, even though Kadosh, we were happy that Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us from Haman, still there wasn't a full Tov because his creation Haman was still killed. Bamer B'Yochanan, Ma'idich, there was a pasuk mean, V'lo karv zel ze kol alayla, that they never came close to each other, referring to the, I thought the Ananya covered in the Ish, right?
No, I think it's when Baruch ran after Erev.
Ah, okay, right, very good. Then the camps never came close to each other,
right.
And the tribe never came close to Klai. So what does this mean? So Bikshu, Malech Asharis Lomar Shira. The Malachim wanted to sing Shira. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, my see a day tovim b'yam v'atim omrim shira. My creations are being drowning in the world. My handiwork's drowning in the ocean, and you're reciting a song. Doesn't make any sense. So we see from here that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not rejoice over the fact that his people, his creations, are being destroyed. So, after all this, though, the question becomes: so why is the Kadosh Baruch Hu above? The pasuk said that he was happy to do bad to the people. If we're seeing here, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not get happy when his creations are destroyed. Why above this pasuk say Ken yasis lahara leschem? Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy to destroy, to create, to do harm to the evil. So the answer is Amar Rebbe Elazar, who ain't a sus of alachem mesis. Kadosh Baruch Hu himself isn't happy, but others are happy. Klal Yisrael is happy. V'dekanami, I'm going to bring you a. It's a very meduyak here. D'chsiv, the pasuk says Ken yasis v'lo k'siv yasis. He will make rejoice, he will cause people to rejoice, but he himself will not rejoice on his own. Shema Mina, that Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't happy, but others are happy. Echeim refers to Klai, so I thought, no?
Here it seems that it's
no?
The Oivim in Zman of the nations.
Rashi says, he's quoting from Rashi. Okay. Fine, let's go, we'll do two more of these. And I guess we'll stop. We'll do it quickly. Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Pasach L'Pisachel High Parshas L'Mehacha. He introduced the following: L'Adam Shetov L'Fanav Nasan Chachma V'Das V'Simcha. To a man who pleases Hashem, he will be given great wisdom and knowledge and joy. Zeh Mordechai Tzadik U'Lechote Nasan Inav L'Esav L'Chnos. And to the sinner, he has given urge to gather and to go up against him. Zeh Haman. To give good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeh Mordechai v'Esther, V'dichsiv atasim Esther es Mordechai abeis Haman. So this pasuk he quoted was a reference to Mordechai, Esther, and Haman. And one last one before we stop. Rabbi Bar Ofrin pasuk la'pischa la'hai parshas ha'mehacha, he would quote, he would introduce his drasha from the following pasuk, V'samti kitzi be'elam, and I'll set my throne in a place called Elam, V'avati misham melech v'sarm, I'm going to destroy the king and the princes, melech that refers to Zuvashti. V'sarm zehaman v'aseres banav. So this pasuk was a reference to the stories of Purim. That's how he would introduce his shir.